The thing about it is, those shows roll into podcasts on our website. Did you realize that? Virtually every one of these shows, you can go back on our website, find the podcast, be listening to that in your super secret headphones at work. Shh, your boss will never know, unless your boss is a member. Tell your boss to be a member, right? 877-500-5266 is the number to call. I am psyched about this show that's coming up. But the thing I love the most about Membership Drive is we get to meet everybody, and everybody meets each other. And that's why I love it when people come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, Oregon. Come over here. We had an awesome cab driver come through earlier. Charlotte got the hoodie. And do we love cab drivers? Yes, we do. Come in person, 20 Southeast 8th, right? Give online, KBOO.FM, as you're looking around for your favorite podcast, or call toll-free 877-500-5266. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses.
Thanks, Lisa. All right, and the time is 6 o'clock. That means Bread and Roses is coming up. That's your weekly feminist news and public affairs right here on KBOO. Please call and support our program, support this station. And stay tuned for that program coming up after these messages.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Hoda's Middle Eastern Cuisine at 3401 Southeast Belmont, serving Lebanese cuisine and Mother's Day brunch on Sunday from 11 to 9 p.m. with 12 mezza dishes and mimosas. Dinner was provided by DeNicholas's Italian Restaurant located at 3520 Southeast Powell, family-owned and serving Italian cuisine.
KBOO members, what's your vision for your community radio station? How do you see the mission of KBOO? The KBOO Foundation has a programming charter and strategic plan, and now it's time for a mission and vision statement to help direct our policy and inspire the community. From now through May 15th, we're inviting member input on our website. Visit kboo.fm/survey2015 to take our survey. You can also read up on our programming charter and other guidelines and find frequently asked questions at the same page, kboo.fm/survey2015. Or you can pick up a copy of the survey at the station. And on Saturday, May 30th, we'll be hosting a mission and vision retreat for members. If you'd like to attend, get in touch with Monica Beamer and RSVP. The email address is monica@kboo.org. Thank you for being an active member of KBOO.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Multnomah County. With marriage equality, same-sex couples have new issues to consider, and you may qualify for additional Social Security and Medicare benefits. You can learn about your rights and how to avoid scams at the May 9th workshop, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Friendly House. Registration at eventbrite.com by typing LGBT Portland or at 503-224-2640.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Hello, welcome to Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist public affairs every Friday on KBOO at 6 p.m. We've been doing this since 1978. Like us on Facebook and find us on KBOO Bread and Roses. I'm Zoe Pilliafis, and tonight we have a conversation with some amazing women in leadership positions in media. In the studio tonight, we have B. Frayne Maesters. She is the executive producer and creator of Backfence PDX, a storytelling series. She is also the main stage host of both the live and podcast radio versions of the show, co-host of Russian Roulette. And she is also the PDX producer for the Moth Grand Slam. Master produces, creates, and performs in comedic videos and sketches for the monthly variety show Entertainment for the People. She really doesn't sleep. We also have Melissa Lowry. I first saw Melissa's documentary many, many months ago. It's called Black Girl in Suburbia. Amazing film, very educational. She's originally from Portland, Oregon, was born and raised in West Lynn. She moved to LA, California, where she worked on a television show called Entertainment Tonight, and then moved back to Portland a few years ago. And then lastly, we have someone that doesn't even know that I've been looking up to, Julie Falk. She is the executive director of Bitch Media. She's worked in nonprofit, as an independent media, criminal justice, and public health. Welcome, ladies, to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to start with an easy question, but a question that I'm very curious about. Why? What got you started? Who inspired you to decide to enter into media?
Who will start?
I will start. Well, I mean, media is a pretty broad term, since mostly what I am involved with right now is storytelling. I'd heard about The Moth and another series out of LA, or out of San Francisco, excuse me, called Porchlight, and I just thought it was really exciting that there was these huge crowds of people coming to see live personal stories. And I have a background in sketch comedy and improv, and I'm a writer, and it just seemed like the perfect convergence of all of those things. It seemed really exciting, and the first big show I saw was in San Francisco, Porchlight, and there were 600 people there, and I was kind of going through my own little personal heartache at the time, and there was just something about it that just felt so good, and the audience was so ignited because there was no fourth wall, and that's kind of what got me involved in sort of that storytelling realm of things. So,
Julie.
Well, I will say that I feel very lucky to work in media because I don't make media myself, and I at one point in my life thought I might want to be a writer or an editor, but those aren't really the things I'm good at. So I feel extremely lucky to get to manage a nonprofit organization that makes media and to get to help make sure that the media gets made, but I'm not the one making it, and that's a good thing.
Melissa.
For me, I was a non-traditional student, went back to school later in life as a wife and mother, and knew that I wanted to do something in media, just wasn't sure what. So I was a general media major. And then when I got to the film and video section of my classes, I saw a documentary made by a local filmmaker, and I was just like, the way he told his story, and it was just so real and so raw, and I was just like, that's what I'm gonna do, that's what I want to do. So right after I graduated was when I was having a conversation with my oldest daughter, who had come home talking about a girl talking about her hair and asking her why her hair was different, and that's what sparked the idea for me to do my first feature documentary film.
Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing. Delphine, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, Zoe.
Hi, Del.
Hi.
Hi, Del.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So Del, you got into media too. Can you tell us why you got into media?
Yeah, Zoe, thank you for asking the question. You know, this is just so fitting because we are in a spring membership drive for KBOO, and really it is community radio that got me into media, that got me into understanding that my ideas were worth actually sharing, that other people around had similar ideas, and that really it was something that was open to me, which I had never thought about before. So thank you to community radio, such as KBOO, WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana is where I started. It was about 6 years ago. And now for about 4 years, I've been here at KBOO in Portland, Oregon, really enjoying the possibility of being part of such an incredible community and living off this legacy of 47 years of community radio building in Portland. 877-500-5266 is the number that you want to call tonight in order to show your support for KBOO and for Bread and Roses, which is, as Zoe mentioned, has been around, has been on the air at KBOO for almost 40 years. And we are you know, so proud every Friday to be able to bring you the voices of women, the voices of men, and even non-conforming folks, and really having those conversation around what is feminism, what is the role of feminism in the media and in this particular social climate. And we are pushing the conversation every Friday. 877-500-5266 is the number that you want to call in order to contribute to KBOO tonight. I have Mike with me.
Hey, what's up, Del?
Hi. You know, I'm doing really awesome. I think it's such a pleasure for me every pledge drive, membership drive, to be able to be here and share a little bit of the what happens behind the scene at KBOO and why we are all so passionate about being here.
Yeah, this is my third membership drive since I've been working down here at KBOO as a station co-manager. And I will say that they get better and better. And this one has just been phenomenal. So I want to thank all the renewing members and the new members out there in the area and maybe even around the world. If you're online at kboo.fm, people have stopped by down here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off of 8th and Burnside. People have been calling 877-500-5266. And the vibe is phenomenal. And this type of programming is something you're only going to find on KBOO Bread and Roses. We appreciate you all. Thank you very much.
Yes. And you can also go online at kboo.fm to donate if it's more convenient for you. Really, we are looking for people that are sustaining us on a monthly basis. Think about giving a small amount and call 877-500-5266 to find out the details. And back to Zoe.
Thank you, Del. So I want to call out a statistic that has meant something to me and why I brought you ladies in here today. So women hold only 3% of clout positions in our mainstream media. So we're looking at telecommunications, entertainment, publishing, and advertising. And in 2011, women comprised only 8% of our directors, executive producers, writers, cinematographers, and editors at our top 250 gross domestic films. So I'm looking at a group of women trailblazers that are creating a paradigm shift in story sharing and storytelling. Talk to me about what are the barriers, the challenges that either you have witnessed or experienced on your path to leadership.
Wow.
Melissa, can I start with you?
That's a full loaded question.
That it is.
For me, this is all new to me still. I just, like I said, this is my first documentary. So, and I've only been showing it, screening it for the last 9 months or so. So it's all relatively new, the process and kind of navigating where to show, who's been asking to see the film, and those sorts of things. Right now, I'm just trying to stay true to the story that I've created and that I want to get out. And right now, it's more about people that approach me that are that genuinely want to hear the story and want to grow and create awareness. So I'll have to come back and let you know if I have any negative experiences or approaches. But for me, as of right now, I haven't felt that, but I know that it exists. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be looking to others ahead of me to sort of guide me when I do hit those roadblocks that I'm sure I will eventually. So, yeah.
Well, I will say that the reason Bitch Media exists is because of those statistics. Mm-hmm. So we provide a feminist response to media and pop culture. And with statistics like those, a feminist response is greatly needed. And also, we want to have the opportunity to showcase wonderful films and television and music that's not part of mainstream media and not made by the corporate media that is illustrated there in those statistics. So we want to shine a light on great work like the work of Melissa and others. And so if those statistics were very different, we would have perhaps a different mission. And that's not to say that, you know, that all women making movies are making feminist movies, or mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to realize, and that's I think something that we have to explain, and we get questions about too when we don't necessarily support a work just because it was made by a woman. But I would say that if those statistics drastically change, then you may see a reason not to need Bitch Media.
Yeah, I never want to see a reason not to need Bitch Media. But in that, I want to ask a follow-up question to that. Why do you think it's important for women to tell their own stories?
Well, because I think that media changes the world. And that when women are telling their stories, when women are sharing who they are and what their lived experiences are, it can change our culture. It can change our understanding of who we are, those of us that are making media. It changes for girls and for women to see themselves reflected in our culture is empowering. And we believe at Bitch Media that media is a opportunity and a locus for social change. And sometimes culture is ahead of the curve. It's ahead of, you know, the political climate. It's ahead of it's ahead of society. Sometimes it's behind, but it's also a great opportunity to encourage progressive change.
Thank you, Julie.
So just parlaying off of that, I read this article recently where Meryl Streep was talking about why there are fewer female stories in film in general. And kind of playing off of what you just said, women need to tell their stories because it's important also for men to hear those stories and for men to see women as heroes in stories, mm-hmm. heroines in stories. Because if we don't have that opportunity, then even women tend to go to more male-oriented films just because we've always seen that same, you know, hero all over and over and over again. And I've directed some videos and things like that, and I've definitely run into some of the stereotypical, you know, bossy comments and, you know, you're so demanding. And it's like, well, I'm the director, so it's kind of in my description. But I guess that's one of the things that I really like about foraying into the live storytelling world, which is largely female dominated. Almost mm-hmm. all the producers at The Moth are women. Mm-hmm. Backfence is largely women. And it's really, live storytelling is really a place. It's a really broad place, and there's lots of storytelling series for women to get up on stage and tell their stories. So that's definitely one of the things that really attracted me to it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have a follow-up question to that when we get back from talking with Dal. So Dal, you know, recently you shared with me at a dinner that you had facilitating a race consciousness training around sexism with KBOO. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? Dal's not there? Oh, she's on her way. So why don't I ask?
I'm right here.
You're right here.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Apologize. I was actually having a conversation about how amazing a brand new show this morning going on KBOO, Democracy in Action. And I think that this is what we're talking about on Bread and Roses so often. We bring you the women, the folks that are doing things out there in the community. You know, we talk about the issues, we discuss, you know, how difficult the challenges like you are hearing the ladies making media talking about tonight on Bread and Roses. But we are also, you know, they're also sharing, and they're going to be sharing with us the rest of the evening some of the things that they are doing in order to change these stereotypes, to change these ideas around, you know, why is a woman bossy whenever she is the director of a project? Why is that? That's a great question. Well, these are the questions that we are asking and also answering in part. And we need you to be joining us in this amazing community experiment. This is Community Media. It's in the making. 877-500-5266 is the number that you can call. And really what we are looking for is for you to become a sustaining member of KBOO. Because, you know, I'm just guessing, you're not listening to KBOO only once in a while. You are actually having KBOO as a sustaining force in your life. Maybe KBOO is what keeps you going. The fact that you know that other people are talking about the climate crisis, the economic crisis, the police violence crisis, the you know, Black Lives Matter issues, the, you know, feminist radical realities out there, you know, folks that just don't conform with ideas of gender that are being imposed by patriarchy. This is, you know, we know that you care about these things. We care about them too. So show some financial support this evening so that we can keep having these conversations non-interrupted, like Bread and Roses has been doing since 1978. 37 years of women passing on the torch, teaching each other, supporting each other, and that is the power of community radio, and you are a part of it. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. You can also go to kboo.fm and pledge there.
That's right. And for a donation of $75 or greater, you can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees in addition to a regular thank you gift. So do your part to offset climate change today by contributing to KBOO. We know there's a lot of people out there who've been listening to KBOO for years. Like Dale said, we've been around about 47 years. And we're proud to be able to bring you the type of news and public affairs, arts and culture and music, and the diversity of all that kind of programming that we do 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We're here for you. We're here right now, and we want to hear from you at 877-500-5266. We're in our spring membership drive. We got close to 5,000 members, but we need to grow our membership. We need to grow our listenership. And we know that there's thousands upon thousands of you out there that do enjoy listening to Bread and Roses, as well as other programs that we bring you that you're not going to find anywhere on the dial. And programs that are actual reflection of your consciousness and the type of things that you think about. I know when I'm driving in the car and I turn on the radio, more often than not, like 99% of the time, I mean, at least 90.7% of the time, there's not much on the radio that actually tells me, you know, either what I want to hear, what I need to hear, or reflects what I'm actually thinking about and feeling mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis. And it's because KBOO actually does that, and I get to be informed by KBOO, that KBOO actually assists in the elevation of my consciousness and growth as a human being. I might have come into this building thinking a certain way, and I might leave having adjusted my thinking a little bit for the better. And I know you can relate to that. 877-500-5266 is the number. Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call, please, because we want to hear from you, and we just want to not just want to hear, you know, how much you would like to donate and contribute to KBOO, but we also want to hear why you want to donate. You know, do you listen to Bread and Roses on a weekly basis? Do you listen to KBOO on a daily basis? Mike just mentioned we 24/7. That is, according to somebody's calculation, 23 million minutes. Woo. That's a lot of minutes of good good, professional, authentic, but community created content. Would it be music? Would it be news? Would it be public affairs? These are the voices of your community because, you know, I don't know if you've realized that KBOO also provides free training for all of us. This is, you know, Zoe asked me, why did I get into media? If it wasn't for community radio training me for free and letting me know that this was available, then I would not know. And now I am, to a certain extent, on a mission to share this gift. I'm sharing it with you right now, but I'm also sharing it throughout the community, working with youth, working in classrooms, working all over, trying to share my love for radio and my love for, you know, sharing your voice, share. There's so much to say, so much. And unfortunately, I cannot say it all for you. So if you want also to contribute to making radio, come on and volunteer or support us financially. Either way, you have to do one or the other, or both, like me. 877-500-5266, or also go online, kboo.fm. While you're there, donate, and then also do a little / Bread and Roses and go check out the rest of the programming that has been done by this incredible collective of women identified folks every Friday evening at 6 p.m. You love it, support it. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Dahl. So I wanted to do a follow-up question to you. Why do you suppose you had mentioned that live storytelling, women are dominant in this area? And I feel like it's been a lost art and we're bringing it back, anywhere from The Moth to what you've created with Backfence PDX. Why do you believe that women are now showing up in this space and owning this?
I guess probably it comes full circle from what we were talking about earlier, because you see yourself reflected in the space. So you're like, oh, this is a space that seems welcoming to me, and like an environment where more so my voice as a director of stories, or, you know, helping to produce stories or the event, is I don't receive that same pushback that I might have in like television and other realms and comedy realms and stuff like that. So I think it just seemed like, wow, this is different, you know, than that. And I think that, I mean, at least for me, that's the reason why.
You know, when I sat down with you for the first time when we met a couple years back, you had said that live storytelling, there's an authenticity to it. And it's almost mm-hmm. as if the crowd, when you are messing up, is the one that's rooting you on to continue. Can
Absolutely.
You talk a little bit more about that? Because that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, when you go to a stand-up comedy show, the audience kind of leans back and waits for you to be the comedian, to be funny or to prove something. With storytelling, because it's a true story, people lean in, and because the very nature of live storytelling is to reveal your flaws, and one of your flaws is that you screw up when you're you know telling, you know what I mean, that you screw up in your life. And you might, you know, misspeak because you're a little bit nervous. And live storytelling is great, too, because you have people in our shows. We have a mix of people who've never been on stage to people who've, you know, been on stage a lot. And they fare equally well in that environment because it's just a true, you know, it's a true story. And they're speaking, you know, they're speaking from, you know, their heart in the story. And people sense that authenticity. And because of that, if somebody has planted a joke, or if they're kind of, it seems too performative, you'll see the audience lean back. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. They're like little blades of grass. They'll lean in when it's like, oh, you know, waiting for it. And then if it seems like I planted this joke, the audience will kind of go, oh. And they just do it naturally because we're animals, and it's an animalistic mm-hmm. you know, response.
So. That's really interesting.
If you've never mm-hmm. been to a show produced by Frayn, you need to go. They're wow. so good. it's a medley of diverse storytellers. I love it. So I want to pose another question to the group. What are some of your favorite women-led, it can be literature or film, producers of recent years? Ponder that.
I'm a big fan of Ava, the director of Selma. She has really, really inspired me as an African-American woman director. Mm-hmm. And just because there's not a lot of us, at least in the mainstream, we're not really represented, and we have different experiences. And just even with her film coming out and her experiences with Selma being as big as it's become, and people sort of, you know, putting this magnifying glass on her and putting kind of some putting her in a box and then taking her out of the box and putting her back in the box. And I kind of actually feel that way as well, right? Even right now when, you know, people have approached me and they're like, okay, you need to, this is an educational film, so you need to, this is the direction you need to go in. And oh my gosh, you're an activist for young women, and you're an activist for women of color. And, you know, so I do actually kind of see people sort of putting me into these boxes where, yeah, I'm just like, look, I am who I am. I don't really have to prove the fact that I'm a woman or that I'm Black. Like, you know, this is what it is. This is my experience. This is the experience of other women and other people. And so I don't really, you know, want to be sort of put in this box, but I see her as somebody that is kind of, is sort of, you know, telling people, you know, no, that's, I am who I am. This is, you know, don't try to put me and force me into something that I'm not. So
what motivated you to decide to do your own documentary?
My daughters, I have two daughters who, are Black girls in suburbia. And they, like myself, who grew up in West Lynn, which is a very predominantly white, you know, area, just had a lot of struggles with just people stereotyping, with microaggressions, getting questions about all Black people, like we have a phone or something that we can pick up and all Black people in the world are just connected to it and we can be like, hey, I got a question. Like, they get those things, you know, they're getting those things now. And so, and like I said earlier, when my oldest Jayla had come up and said this girl had mentioned that her hair was different and she didn't know why, and it made her sad because it was pointing out her differences, and that's what made me sort of reflect on my own experiences. And I was like, I gotta do this. Like, I made the film really for them. Just, I wanted to make this, put all this time and energy into it and just give them the DVD because I just wanted them to see that they weren't alone in their experiences and what they're going to go through as women. So that was really my focus, and my drive was for my girls to, so that they can see that. And then also to spark conversation, because it's a conversational piece, and yeah, it's also a personal perspective piece. It's not a diversity training video. It's not anything like that. It's just based off of, this is my experience. There's no finger pointing, like, you have to do this, you need to do less of this, here's a pretty happy ending. Like, there's none of that. It's just, you know, us telling our story. And so and that's how I learn, and that's how I grow, is by hearing other people's perspectives and sharing my perspective. So that was really my focus.
I think that when you say, you know, learning and growing and hearing other people's perspectives, mm-hmm, I think that's so important, and hence why we need to ensure that we have diverse filmmakers, diverse producers, etc., so our stories can also mirror the world, which is, mm-hmm, one that is a diverse world. Julie, can you share with us perhaps some of your favorites in literature, currently film, or producers?
You know, at Bitch, we're pretty excited about Janet Mock and the work that she's doing. I read her book, Redefining Realness, earlier this year, and I'm more of a reader than a watcher as a consumer of media, and I actually haven't seen her MSNBC show yet. Is that true? I don't think I have. But I'm excited about her work, and I'm excited about the way that she is talking about not only issues of race and gender and feminism, but also issues of pop culture. And she loves pop culture. And I think that we're seeing more and more of an understanding that pop culture is, you know, is reflective of our world. Then it reflects back on us. And the importance of making sure that we have diverse perspectives in our pop culture is really important. I mean, I feel like when I started at Bitch 6 years ago, and we're 20 years old now, there were a lot of people that said, why does pop culture matter? And I hear that, oh, even in 5 years, far less. far less than I did back then.
Thank you.
Speaking of pop culture, I'll talk about a couple of people who are kind of on a national scale. I think that Amy Schumer is doing a lot of really, really great stuff. And yeah. I think she's using pop culture in a way that's pretty great. Mm-hmm. And she's really got a strong voice and really got a great point of view. I like Roxane Gay a lot. I think she really also has a really important voice. I think locally, there are a lot of writers here who, Chelsea Kane and Cheryl Strayed and Lydia Yuknovich, who all have, we have a very strong female writing community here that I just feel, it just makes, I don't know, it makes you feel like you have a lot more space to move in here as a woman, you know?
And such different voices. And yes. Those three women.
Yes. And yeah. I like that, you know, Chelsea's always talking about finding bodies by a river and, you know, Cheryl's hiking by a river and Lydia's swimming in the river. So, you know, you get all of it.
Did you just come up with that?
Yes.
That was really good. Yeah.
Sometimes, you guys. Yeah. Sometimes.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing who, you know, currently, if you haven't heard of these voices before, we said Janet Mock, Amy Schumer. Who else did we say?
Roxane Gay.
Ava
DuVernay.
Yeah, there we go. So if you don't know these women, find these women. Dal, are you there?
Yes, Zoe, hello. I'm here.
So Dal, you know, I know it's been almost 40 years of women training each other, yes. And working with one another on Bread and Roses. Can you chat with us a bit about KBOO and ensuring that we continue to see a paradigm shift and bring more diverse voices to media? How does KBOO do this?
Oh, please, Zoe, this is, you know, me and Mike's mission right here.
Indeed.
You know, this is our mission because, you know, it is KBOO's purpose of really being the voice, the representation of all, every single folks that are represented in our community. And one of the ways that we do that is by actually offering the training. And so, you know, I said it earlier, but the concept of community radio was not present in the country where I'm from, which is France. And so the whole idea of a place that's supported by listeners financially entirely and that is completely powered and operated by volunteers who are being taught for free how to produce a high-quality, professional, journalistic content, it's incredible. It's just not something that you find everywhere. And, you know, I'm very glad that some folks before me have thought about how important it is to have platforms, places that are not controlled by corporations, that are not controlled by mainstream media platforms, so that all of us who live on the margin still have a place where we can express ourselves, where we can express our frustrations, and we can express everything that is messed up with the system that oppresses us. But at the same time, this is also a place where we can share with each other the tools and the skills and the resilience that we have developed. And this is what KBOO does. And this is why we train. And this is why for 40 years we've been training each other, women, passing it on. And still today, this is one of the first shows that Zoe has hosted on her own. And she has gone through this process as well of being mentored and being taught through community radio. KBOO is the place that does that nowhere else. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, or going to kboo.fm online, very easy. We are looking for you to make a small monthly donation that would sustain KBOO so that we can know that we can count on you month after month, maybe with $5, maybe with 10, maybe with 20, maybe with just a few cents, or maybe with a few hundred. Whatever you have, we need it.
That's right, kboo.fm. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO FM, KBOO Community Radio. You can call us at 877-500-5266. Community Radio means there's a lot of us who are playing a part in keeping KBOO here on the air for you to listen to, for people to come in and grow their skills and their knowledge and their understanding of what it takes to create community radio. And there is so much good work that's been happening historically that will continue to happen, and that is happening right now because of you. 877-500-5266. Back to you, Zoe.
Thank you. The ladies in the studio, while you guys were chatting, were saying some very interesting things. They were talking about the being categorized or pigeonholed and what that can do to your career. Ladies, do you want to expound a little bit on what we were discussing?
I just thought it was really interesting that Melissa brought up that, you know, when people try to pigeonhole her, I think it pigeonholes her film too. And I was just curious about her thoughts on that. So
yeah, and I was just saying that it's, you know, if I do decide to go down one path, then I'll choose to do that. If you want to put me on another path, maybe I'll do that or not. But and if I want to do all of them, I can do that too, you know. So it doesn't have to be this sort of, you know, if this is, you know, if you made a film about a Black girl in suburbia, you know, there's assumptions that come with that, and there's the sort of like, okay, well, this is what I think it's supposed to be, and this is what I think you should be doing. I might do that, and I might not do that, and I might do some other things as well, but that's my choice, and that's not, you know, I don't need you to put that upon me.
Yeah, and I think it opens up the audience's experience for watching what you do, too.
So. Who wants to be pigeonholed?
No.
Nobody wants to be pigeonholed.
Nobody does. Pigeons.
But I sometimes feel like people can't help it, you know? Sometimes people just put their stuff on you and without thinking about it.
People like labels.
They do.
Yeah. It's comfortable for them. And I like to see, sometimes during my screenings, I see people kind of fidgety and I see them being uncomfortable. And I like that because it's okay to be uncomfortable for 30 to 40 minutes, because afterwards you're going to get up, walk out, go home, eat dinner, and you're just fine. So really it's okay for you to be uncomfortable for a little bit. That's just life, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think life, especially right now, there's a lot of social change happening. And I think that, you know, we've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because things are shifting, and that's when, you know, your mind opens up. If you try to, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good metaphor for this one, but if you try to if you're a stick in the mud, you're just going to get blown away, you know, instead of trying to, you know, I'm going to bring a river back instead of flowing with the river. And I think it's really interesting when people really are trying to be like, I'm going to label you and it's going to stick. And you're like, well, no. It's not. It isn't not going to.
Yeah. I think the places we grow are when we are not comfortable, and there's many things that we should not be comfortable with. I have some questions about what your projects are coming up. So could you share with me, Julie, what are some projects that Bitch Media is working on and looking forward to?
We're turning 20. So we have some fun projects that are in the works on that, and also some, you know, some more serious projects too. We're hoping to do to commission a history of Bitch. We're also launching a new website in the summer, which is not so much associated with our 20th anniversary, but is certainly something that is a time that has come for that. We are also going to be doing a bit of a redesign of the magazine in this next year, which is exciting. But we're also at the end of a strategic plan. So we are developing our new strategic plan. And as a 20-year-old organization, I think it's really important that we figure out, you know, who we are as an institution and how we are going to lead moving forward, and take a hard look at what our role is and what different communities expect of us, the feminist community, the independent media community, the Portland community, and see where we need to grow and invest, and how we're going to continue to identify and cultivate, you know, the next generation of feminist thinkers.
Thank you.
Very cool.
What's up next for you, Melissa?
So I am continuing to screen my film locally and beyond. I was in Atlanta at Spelman College in March, which was really exciting. And and just a priceless experience for me.
I think I was there during the, someone in the audience said, hey, I'm
It was awesome. And then I would like to, I have been submitting my film to festivals. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'll be working on distribution of the film and working on a study guide to go with the film as well. And then I've got so many projects in my head right now that once I get Black Girl in Suburbia kind of settled a little bit, I want to jump into to something else. So
wonderful.
I have some great upcoming storytelling shows, and also I'm realizing that the monthly variety show I do can't say on air because it has a dirty word in it. I do that, and I'm working on a video series and some other writing projects. So
wonderful. Yeah. So what are ways that we can look to support you?
For Black Girl in Suburbia, you can go to our website, blackgirlinsuburbia.com. I have several screenings coming up in the next month or so. So in the schedule for the screenings is listed on the website. Also with social media, Facebook, Twitter, you can follow us.
And then for Backfence PDX, you can go to backfencepdx.com. And I should mention we also have storytelling workshops, and also Virgie Tovar will be here from San Francisco teaching a workshop. I think there's only a couple spaces left on memoir about the body, exploring the body as memoir. So
I'm sure that Bitch Media and Bitch Magazine are unfamiliar to some of your listeners, and if they are, then you should definitely go to bitchmedia.org and check out our website. You can also find Bitch at Powell's or New Seasons or many of the local stores. But if you're one of those people who love Bitch and have read Bitch for years and think, oh, I really should support Bitch, you know, KBOO style, I hope you'll do it today. And we're in a fundraising drive as well. And really, we can use your support. And we would very much appreciate it.
Thank you. So I have a question about looking forward. So there's women that are listening right now, both young and old, that desire to get into media. What would your advice be if they want to get into media? What is your advice?
Well, I think you have so much opportunity through social media right now, and, you know, making your own projects and putting them up on Vimeo and talking about them, and just, it's all about making, you know, it's, media is diving in and getting your hands into it and figuring out what you love, what you don't like so much that you hire or bring somebody else in to do. And you do, like you talked about at the very beginning, you figured out the part that you felt like you fit into so well. And so I think just getting in there and doing it. I mean, there's so many opportunities and ways to do it now.
So when you first decided to create Backfence PDX, that's quite a risk. Like, tell me what your thoughts and emotions were in that moment.
I was really scared. As I'd been a writer performer, but I'd never produced anything. And after seeing Porchlight and there was all these people there, I was like, I want to try to make it a big event, which, it's been around for 7 years now. So, back in 2008, when we were starting it, there was Livewire, which is a big event in town, but, and Mortified had just started a few months before that, but it was kind of a newer idea in Portland to have these kind of bigger events. But and people said, oh, you can't do that. That's not going to happen. And it's just kind of like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to try. And then I just kind of went from there. And still make tons of mistakes all the time and just get kind of used to making mistakes. And some of them are more embarrassing than others. And some of them you learn a lot from. And it's just kind of fly or die. It's just, you know, you got to shut down the naysayers a lot of times.
The mistakes are where we find the beauty.
That's mm-hmm. a big part, I think, is you just have to be, you can't be afraid to fail and to make those mistakes, and just, you know, you learn from them, you dust yourself off. I think that's a big thing. And then also just staying true to your story and what you're doing. And if you're completely invested in it, then you'll be successful. Like if you're, you know, if you feel it in your gut and you're passionate about whatever it is that you're doing, then you can make it work. Like, no matter what. So.
And I promise there's someone out there that cares. You know, whatever you're making, whatever you're creating, whatever story you're telling, there's going to be a moment where you're going to think, no one really cares about this. Maybe I'm the only one in the world that cares about that. And that is not true. There are people that care and want to hear your story.
Wonderful. So we've talked a bit, Delphine, about support, how to support the ladies here, but we're also looking for your support with KBOO. Delphine, tell us how we can support KBOO.
Well, you know, folks can support KBOO by sharing a little bit of their dollars tonight. That's really what we are looking for. Just a few dollars, whatever you have. Maybe you have a lot. And really, whatever you feel so inclined to share with KBOO tonight, we would like to get. And so the way that you support us is by calling 877-500-5266. And we have volunteers that are waiting to answer your call. They will ask you for just to take a few minutes of your time, ask you how much you want to donate, how you would like to donate. And most importantly, they will ask you, why are you supporting KBOO? And I will, in fact, me and Mike will read that on the air. We will thank you. We will share your name. We will share where you are from, because it's really incredible the amount of folks that actually are from outside of town, that are even from other countries, that actually contribute online at kboo.fm. But if you are anywhere in the United States and you are listening, this is a toll-free number that you can call from anywhere. It's 877-500-KBOO. So 877-500-5266. And you know, whatever it is that you have, but really one of the amazing way that I have been able to donate to KBOO and feel guilt-free is through a monthly donation. And I'm so proud because KBOO calls me a sustaining member, and I feel there's lots of power with that word, sustaining. I feel like every month, just a few dollars that I give is really pushing the community forward. And I know that it's not just my dollars, it's also your dollars, the dollars of all of the listeners that are really allowing KBOO to be on the air, because we are in great part listener funded. You hear what you hear on KBOO because there are no corporations that give us money, no political parties that try to shift our point of view. No, this is all coming from ordinary folks, folks who live here in the city, rank and files, most of us, who are just trying to make sense of this world, of this society. And really, sometimes it's difficult. So we come here together, kind of talk and realize really that there's a lot of things that we could be doing better. Just like the guests on Bread and Roses have talked this evening, they are making a change in media by making content produced, directed, controlled by women, stories from women with their voices that are having an impact, as the guest said, not just on women, young women, and all folks, but also on men and the patriarchy and the rest of the society. So 877-500-5266 is the number we're asking for you to call tonight to share your support with KBOO.
That's right, 877-500-5266. And the theme of our spring membership drive is actually solidarity, community, solidarity, support. These are all things that aren't just terms that we toss around, but things that actually hold weight, that actually mean something, and that are reflected by the values that KBOO has, and by the work that the volunteers put in, by the money and the material support, the financial support that members provide. And what you get back is you get this content, you get this programming, you get this training, you get the music, you get the news and public affairs, you get points of view that you're not going to hear elsewhere on the dial. And it's important that we understand that this is a community resource for our voices to be heard. You know, we are going to be represented because we're going to do the work and represent ourselves and use KBOO as a resource to reach people locally, regionally, nationally, and globally. And you can support this work by calling us. The phone just rang. Thank you. 877-500-5266. If you're online, you're on your mobile device, you can go to KBOO.FM and you can click on donate in the top right. And if you're in the area, it's a beautiful night. I know a lot of people worked all week and they're out enjoying the weather. We're close to the river. Maybe you're down there, you know, walking around on waterfront. Give us a visit, you know, give us a shout. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off of 8th and Burnside. We've been here long and strong, and we're going to continue to be here with your support. Again, that number is 877-500-5266.
And not just content that you don't hear anywhere else, but in fact, you cannot hear anywhere else. The only reason, again, you hearing this is because of listeners like you who become members. And I think that when you become a member, you are moving from just, you know, that listening stage where you're kind of, you know, taking in the information and informing yourself, educating yourself, maybe being exposed to other ideas, new ideas on how to move forward. I don't know. Me and Mike were talking about how it's a little scary out there. You know, some days it's hard. It's really hard to be able to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And when you tune into KBOO, what you get is the content, solid content, but you know that the content is only there because all of us have come together to support the content being created, the building being there open, the folks who are being paid to help run the station, the volunteers that are being trained so that the radio station can operate. It's all of that. And you rip the benefits, I rip the benefit, we all do, and therefore we all have to pitch in just a few dollars. That's all it takes. 877-500-5266. It could be hard to make a one-time donation, a big sum. I don't have it most of the time, but I do have $5. You know, I'm not going to buy a latte tomorrow and donate this to KBOO on a monthly basis. Please do that. If you can afford $5, I urge you right now to call or go online at kboo.fm. Again, the phone number, 877-500-5266.
Thank you. So we wanted to end the show with some pieces of advice. You know, as we become successful in film, whatever success means, this doesn't just happen. And I think this false notion of, bam, I just had some good luck. There definitely are some very tangible skills and movements that you have to make with intentionality. Can you ladies share some resources or some ways in which you made this movement and have built a successful platform for yourself and others?
Well, for me, I would say education. So whether that's going to a university or taking classes at your local community college, you know, go build up those skills and go learn those skills that is needed for you to do what it is that you want to do. And then the other big thing, at least for me, is having a mentor. That was a huge thing for me in this entire process, is having one of my professors from school. She's been my mentor in this whole project, and it's been 5 years, and she's was my go-to person. Like, you know, what do I do in this situation? How do I handle this situation? I don't know. I'm at a block right now. I'm not sure what to do. And so having somebody there that knows what you're going through and has experience in doing what you're doing, I think is a gift. And I think it's something that you, and they're everywhere. You can find someone in, you know, whoever you know that is doing, just reaching out to somebody that is doing exactly what you're doing and just saying, hey, you're doing exactly what I want to do. And is there any way that you can mentor me? And at least, you know, give me some ideas and some advice. I think really those are kind of the main things. And then using the resources. So for us in finding funding, we did Kickstarter, and just reached out to, you know, I reached out to family. I used those resources that I could find online. So I would say those are the main things, at least for me.
Thank you. So I'm hearing mentorship, mm-hmm. use alternative, you know, the power of digital media and ways to get yourself funded. Mm-hmm. If the purse strings aren't coming to you, try to make that happen in different ways. Julie, what would you share? What are some tangible ways in which women can get themselves into media?
Well, you know, media entertains us, it challenges us, and I think it can change the world. But there are so many different roles you can play in media, and you don't have to necessarily be the creative. You don't necessarily have to be the star. I'm looking around here at the studio and seeing, you know, there's so much work that goes into making media and making content. And so you can figure out what you're best at, and you can apply those skills to a big project. And I would also say you don't have to know what your path is. That's okay. A lot of people want to know what my path was to where I am today, and in retrospect, you can look back and you can make a path, but there was no path forward, and I wasn't always mm-hmm. sure what I wanted to do. But I think it's just so important that what you're always doing something, and as long as you are kind of gathering skills, you don't have any idea how you're going to be able to use them in wherever your path takes you.
Yeah. Thank you. And final thought of some tangible ways in which we can get ourselves involved in media.
Expand on what Melissa said, because I think that mentors are so important and reaching out to people is so important. But I think a little tangent off of that is that when you're reaching out to somebody, do research on that person, find mm-hmm. out who they are, and know what they do, so that when you write to them, you write to them as, you know, you have taken some time, because you're asking, just remember that you're asking for something from this person, and that you need to figure out as much as you can what you can give back. Like I watched all of your films, you know, and the way you direct things is very exciting to me. And can I buy you a cup of coffee? Can I buy you a drink? You know, mm-hmm. make sure that you somehow open it up to being a two-way street, and not just like, people tell me I'm awesome, can you help me be more awesome? And it's like, because you get a lot of those emails from people, and it's kind of mm-hmm. like, well, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. So,
well, thank you, ladies. Thank you for your advice.
Thank you.
Thank you for showing authentically in this conversation. And thank you to those that have donated this evening. Next week, we have Mary Postlewaite. She will be hosting a show about reuniting with lost family members. You have been listening to Bread and Roses. Good evening.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh,